Well, we're calling this Removing the Wolves from Their Place. And this first dream was given to Vanessa Weeks on August the 21st or thereabouts. And it's really good. Good news. Like the things we've been praying for, right? And God is, I believe, doing what He said He would do. She said, I felt the Lord wanted me to share this. About 3 weeks ago, I woke up hearing the words, removing from their place. The date we put on this was that 3 weeks, at the beginning of that 3 weeks. Removing from their place is what she heard. And I do believe that this is beginning to happen. And corruption is being revealed. And it doesn't seem that they don't have, that they have the gift to hide it anymore. removing from their place. That's what she heard. I asked the Lord for a word about this and received Luke 24 and 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. Emmaus means warm spring. Could this be our spring in the fall? That would be nice. She went on to say, it seems to me that the first scripture was a confirmation for the when, which is after the resurrection, and I put, of the man-child. So the when. And I asked for another confirmation and received Jeremiah 4 and 24. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. And she says this second verse is the how by earthquakes. The time of the great earthquakes by Planet X, which he has showed us, is the time of the coming of the Lord as the latter rain in his man-child ministry, like in Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Then, she said, I asked the Father who was to be removed and received Esther 6 and 14. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared. And you guess what kind of trouble he got in there? Yeah. And this third verse represents the who, the head of the beast, evil government leaders. So these wolves who wanted to destroy God's people are to be removed. And I believe for 3.5 years. She said, I think God is encouraging us that this will happen as we repent and pray. Yes, this has been the condition all along for these promises to come to pass. And I would say, sacrifice the flesh, saints. Draw near to God by confession of sins and exercise your faith towards Him. And then cast down the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness, which we see beginning to happen, right? Well, this revelation that was given to Vanessa prepares us for her husband's revelation, Barry's dream, which came about 10 days later. And it's along the same line. Matter of fact, this really sets us up for it. And Deb Horton put some notes in here, and I did too. And Barry said, I had this dream twice, which has never happened to me as far as I can remember. And, of course, the verse we lean on this is Genesis 41 and 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Well, I would say it's been tripled because he got it twice and she got something very, very similar once. So let's go on from there. Whether it was me or my dog who was first alerted to noises outside, I don't know, but as I stood at my screen door and looked out, Deb said a screen door is interesting because a screen is also a sieve. Yeah, and to me, you only see part of the picture through a screen, you know, because it does sieve your sight, so to speak. And I looked out and I saw a huge horse in the distance on a dirt road far to my left, galloping towards us. That is, coming closer, but to my left. Then I saw that it was pulling a wagon with a driver seated on it. I believe this driver is the Lord. The wagon was similar to the old-time circus wagons with bars, which animals were put in, and it was full of wolves. So, rounding up the wolves on the left, probably the left wing, and the enemies of God's people is what's being shown here. Barry said, I think it was both the sound of the horse's hooves together with the wolves howling that alerted my dog and I to this and brought us to the door to see what was happening. My little dog, a Sheltie, I believe, was troubled and distressed, whimpering and trying to get out the door and run towards them. Deb said, Sheltie is a shortened version of Shetland, meaning mainland. And the mainland could be the United States. I agree. I was holding her back, speaking gently to her, trying to calm her. Most of my attention was on her, since I had such compassion on her in her distress, and was working to protect her. Well, I think this is true about the situation here, and that America itself will need our calming influence, our prayers, and so on and so forth, so that there be peace during this transition. The righteous, you know, typed by Barry here, have a burden to protect the United States from the wolves in power. Well, amen. Those wolves were a known problem in that area. And I took this to be a great and noble thing that this man driving the coach had done, to round them up and take them away from the wooded area in the distance where they lived. On the left, too, by the way. It was a great service for those of us who lived in that rural area. Amen. Great service. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. But later, I did wonder why he didn't just kill them. The first thing that came to my mind that night was that the man was the Lord using Donald Trump and others, somehow rounding up radical Muslims, and I added liberals, communists, anarchists, in position to be a great threat to the people of the United States. It could be about evil government leaders being exposed, put on display, and or behind bars. And my thought was that it would take a large horse to pull that wagon, right? And that's what they said. This was a large horse. And Barry said, I found this scripture which seems to apply, Ezekiel 22 and 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, that they may get dishonest gain. Yeah, I think that's a good description. Then he said, later in the night, I had the same dream again. with only one difference. The horse looked like a normal-sized horse this time. Now, Deb had the same thought I did on this. It's a twofold judgment coming. The second normal-sized horse may represent the Lord rounding up the apostate leadership of the church. And I think that's why I received this verse by random this day. Matthew 7 and 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Yes, there are many wolves in the pulpits. And this would, of course, take a smaller horse than the first one. The white horse of the first seal, I believe this could be. The David man-child in whom the Lord comes by Spirit and Word. The death of Saul and his administration at the hands of their own beastly flesh. So, there you have it. A promise from the Lord. And, of course, the condition is always, as usual, repent or stay repented. One or the other. Don't slack up because you think God's going to do us a favor here, so that we can get our 3.5 year tribulation revival. Yeah. I'm going to remind you of a text here, or some Bible codes here, just momentarily, and then I'm going to go on to another one that I haven't shared with you. And this is all about Donald Trump, Osiris, to conquer Babylon. These codes point out in the video that the polls and the media lie, quote unquote, and that things will be revealed, quote unquote. Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, quote unquote. Wiki, quote unquote, leaks, quote unquote, Assange, quote unquote, emails, quote unquote, foundation, quote unquote, Clinton. I'm just going to mention them all out. Clinton, Rodham, to prison, can't hide, fraud, scams, rigged to steal, I will not let, treason, uncover, fire. It's all in that video, okay, in that one code there. Fired is there. Sounds like Donald Trump's favorite words, right? Forgive is there, which would speak to many, of course. September is mentioned in this first code. Hillary Clinton loses, quote unquote. Prayed, quote unquote, which is a reason. Elected Donald Trump. Donald. To delay. New World Order. Trump sees. No fear. To save. At elite. And murdered is there. It's all about those murdered, by the way, in the Bible code. Those murdered names are all recorded in the Bible codes. And then elect's sake is there. And of course, you know, for the elect's sake, those days are shortened. That is so good. And then there's 3 years and a half. And I believe that this is speaking about the delay that's given, which I was saying for a couple of months now. And then I saw this and I thought, wow, there it is. And from Donald J. Trump, DJT. DT, Donald Trump, is delay. Elected, DT, Donald Trump. I delay. AC, I believe it's for Antichrist, is BHO. And, of course, I believe he is a Antichrist, not the Antichrist. Donald Trump, trumpet for mercy. Saints, win. DT, win all. DT, chosen. DT is Prezi. Came to me. The truth. End days. God's mercy and no fear. Quite a bit of stuff in there. And then, of course, we had a whole bunch of other codes on Trump winning the presidency, including codes that spoke about him being Cyrus. So I want to go on now to another one. And this Bible code seems to show that Donald Trump will become president and conquer Babylon, as Cyrus did. Rabbi Glazerson pointed out in this video, which we will put here for you when we post it, that Donald Trump will be president and the skip code starts in the surface text of Isaiah 45:1. Now that's significant. A lot of times the surface text that you read in the Bible is significant concerning the codes underneath. Not always, but in this case it was, and in a lot of cases it is, which is amazing, you know. So this code that we're talking about now was started in Isaiah 45:1, which he read, that is, Rabbi Glazerson read in the video as, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped," I think our version says held, "to subdue nations before him and loose the belts," our version says loins, "of kings, to open doors before him, that the gates may not be closed." And of course, this is a prophecy about Babylon and their famous gates going over the Euphrates River, which they thought would certainly save them from an enemy. They hadn't counted on Cyrus diverting the Euphrates River and then walking underneath the gates that went across the top of the river. So, came right on in and took it over without a big war. And, of course, this prophecy was written a couple of centuries before Cyrus was born, and it really impressed him when he was shown it by the priests. Cyrus the Persian conquered the Medes, who joined him to conquer Babylon. The Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. He then decreed that the temple in Jerusalem should be rebuilt and that the Jews could return to their land, which is exactly what God prophesied of him. And Glazerson said, the skip reads in that place, "Elections in 8 November 2016. Donald, quote-unquote, Trump, quote-unquote, found with Messiah, quote-unquote. Eliminate the evil, quote-unquote." Isn't that cool? Glazerson said that it is not surprising that the Messiah would come with him. Yeah. Also, year 777, the 5 is recognized by the Jews, 5777, which is 2017, when Trump takes office. And this, with the surface text, means that the Lord considers Donald Trump a Cyrus to conquer our modern Babylon and set God's people free to build the spiritual temple of God's people in the tribulation. The temple is not a building anymore. I don't care what they build. The temple is the people. That's what the Apostle Paul said. it looks to all appearances that this is happening. It's clear Trump is befriending Christians and Jews. Donald means world ruler, and he may be that at the first trump of Revelation in chapter 6, right? So look at all the promises to God's people in the rest of the text. I'll read Isaiah 45:1, which is what he just got, and on down. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, to open the doors before him. And the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass. I understand that there was two sets of doors. There was a gate that went across the Euphrates, and then on the inner bank there was doors that were just left unlocked. They were so sure that nobody could get through the first ones, they had just left them unlocked, or else an angel did it, maybe, I don't know. And cut in sunder the bars of iron. Yes, he did. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Well, I guarantee you this bunch has a bunch of treasures of darkness. And the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, Jacob, which is Israel, represents the church in the New Testament, as 1 Corinthians 10:11 points out. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my chosen, I have called thee by thy name. So God did this with this person and this man and this Mr. Trump for his people. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Beside me there is no God. I will gird thee, though thou hast not known me. Well, it's clear from the Cyrus cylinder that Cyrus believed in the Lord along with his other gods. But he was very impressed with the Lord. He just hadn't gotten to that spot yet. And it could be that situation now. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Yes, I'm thinking that most of the world is thinking America has gone down the drain and is going down for the last gulp. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. Distill, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Oh, listen to that. Let the earth open, that it may bring forth salvation. You know what I think that means is the earthquakes are going to restore the fear of the Lord. And there will be a great salvation, a great repentance. And let it cause righteousness to spring up together. Yes, I believe so. We have received many times about the earthquakes bringing the revival. There it is. I, the Lord, have created it. Well, like at 9:11, some will say that this is the judgment of God. And the reprobates will shout them down. Right? Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, a potsherd among the potsherds of the earth. Yeah, people that don't believe God's in control, these are the ones that strive. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, why makest thou, or what makest thou, excuse me, or thy work? He hath no hands, Woe unto him that saith unto a father, What begettest thou? Or to a woman, With what travailest thou? There's some silly leadership out there. You know, God is sovereign. He's doing what he wants. He even put it in our hearts to pray so that this war on the saints wouldn't come until the middle of the tribulation period, like the Bible teaches. Okay? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, Ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. And God, of course, is going to have many sons. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. The man-child happened to be the firstborn in these days, sons. And that's after the only begotten son, Jesus Christ, right? I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him, that is Cyrus, up in righteousness, and I will make straight all of his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall go after thee in chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God, no other God, meaning, Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Well, God is hiding himself in the works of Cyrus. I mean, a lot of people are going to give credit to and put their trust in the man, which is a major mistake. I mean, we have to give glory to God. Nobody can do anything. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, the Bible says, you know. They shall be put to shame, yea, confounded, all of them. They shall go into confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame nor confounded, world without end. And why is God doing this? He's doing this so that the man-child, which is his reformers, can do their work on the church. The man-child and the bride have a great work to do on the church. God's giving them 3.5 years before many of those people will have to go solo. That means they'll have to deal with the beast and the harlot. Yeah. And there are other texts that tell of what the Lord did through Cyrus for God's people, which is a direct parallel of today. 2 Chronicles 36:22 through, I guess, 23. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord, the God of heaven, given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now let me say, Jerusalem, we are told that John was told that this is the bride coming down out of heaven, being born from above. And God's temple in the beginning is going to be this bride. That's what it says. Charge me to build him a house. It starts right there with the bride. And John the Baptist saw Jesus with the disciples, and he said, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That's where it started, you see. And whosoever there is among you of all of his people, the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up In other words, let's go up to Zion, right? Because this is the new leadership of the church. Jerusalem was the leadership of the Old Testament church, and now it's going to be spiritually the leadership of the New Testament church. And just as we saw, you know, in the parables that were given us in those two dreams, God's going to remove the Sauls. And if you notice, between two texts concerning Cyrus, God speaks of conquering the enemies of his people. Isaiah 41 and 1, and I'll read through 25. Like I said, between two texts, he's just telling you that everything in between there is associated with Cyrus. Isaiah 41 and 1, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the peoples renew their strength. This is what God's doing. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who hath raised up one from the east, whom he calleth in righteousness to his foot? He giveth nations before him, and maketh him rule over kings. He giveth them as the dust to his sword, as the driven stubble to his bow. He pursueth them, and passeth on safely, even by a way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last. And down in verse 8, But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth, and called from the corners thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Well, I'm sure that the first threat we heard was a great casting away. And God's people went to pray, and those that have discernment and wisdom, by the way, it wasn't the people as a whole that God heard. In the book of Esther, it was very clear that she petitioned the king. She was the bride. She petitioned the king, and the king heard. Okay, so, verse 10, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. God's promising to help his people, draw them close to him. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be put to shame and confounded. They that strive with thee shall be as nothing and shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. Amen. Because God's going to do it. Verse 13, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. And ye men of Israel, obviously worms can't help themselves very much, you know. We can do nothing without him, much like a worm, I would say. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, says the Lord, and thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made thee to be a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, shalt make the hills as chaff. If there's a harvest coming, God's going to get his people ready, right? Thou shalt winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away. The wind shall scatter them. Winnowing, of course, gets rid of the husk, the chaff, and the wind just takes it away, you know. But you don't want that. You want the fruit, right? And, of course, that's what God's people are going to be doing in the harvest, is to get the fruit. And the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy seek water, Amen. They need to hear the Word of God, the washing of the water with the Word. And there is none. Their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights. It's hard to get a river up on the bare heights, isn't it? What God's saying is He can put it anywhere. And fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water, the dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. And the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and declare unto us what shall happen. Declare ye the former things what they are, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or show us things to come. Well, see, idols can't do any of these things, can they? Even if you got a false Jesus, he can't show you that either. If you got Kundalini, if you got faction, they can't show you that either. Declare the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you are of nothing, and your work is of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he is come from the rising of the sun, one that calleth upon my name. He shall come upon rulers as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth the clay. And there's Cyrus once again. So he still hadn't turned away from this text. He started with it in Isaiah 41 and 2 and all the way down to here. So he's just, those promises in between are telling you what God is going to do concerning this, right? And here's another text, Isaiah 44 and 24 through 28. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth. And who is with me? Well, nobody, Lord. That frustrateth the signs of the liars, and maketh diviners mad. See all the people out there with their prophecy revelations and stuff that's just a dead letter. I mean, it's all for naught. It's a waste of their time, you know. That turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. That confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. That saith of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited. And of the cities of Judah, they shall be built, and I will raise up the waste places thereof. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. And that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Yep. Praise be God. We thank you, Father. And Eve Brast asked for a word or a text on 8:2:16 and received by faith at random, Daniel 5 and 7 on down. I'll read that to you. And this is concerning the writing on the wall of this Babylonish country, right? In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's, that's Belshazzar, countenance was changed in him, and his thoughts troubled him. and the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. The king, that's Belshazzar, spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were perplexed. Well, you know, the rest of the story is quite revealing that the Babylonish prophets were not able to interpret this writing concerning what was to come upon them, so that the king of Babylon called for Daniel, who told them that he was about to be overthrown for his sins by the Medes and the Persians, who would then divide his kingdom between them. And Trump has been prophesied by some to be Cyrus, who conquered Babylon's king and released the captives to rebuild the kingdom of God, as in Jerusalem and the temple. So I'm going to read on. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. The queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made him master of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of dark sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, who art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah? I have heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in thee. And now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. But I have heard of thee that thou canst give interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with purple, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. So then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father the kingdom, and greatness, and glory, and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all the peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive. I guess we know that's true. And whom he would he raised up, and whom he would he put down. And we know that's true too. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened, I think he's lifted up pretty good. It was hardened so that he dealt proudly. He was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. He was fed with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he setteth up over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine from them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass and of iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? True. Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and the writing was inscribed, and this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Cyrus, in other words. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom. And I believe that was to rule under Cyrus, being about 62 years old. So, very neat. And we've been getting different texts and verses that point to the same thing. We've received Cyrus verses, in our morning meeting when we ask the Lord to give us a word, and He does. Saints, just keep on praying and keep on believing, and we're seeing God do the work. And we just give thanks unto God. And you know what the plan was and what the plan is, and I don't guess they've given up on it. And that is, of course, to conquer America and make it a Muslim state. And there's very foolish judges out there right now that are ruling for Sharia law. And, of course, that's illegal, but it doesn't matter to them. And that's what all the that's what the Lord is going to put down, I believe, for at least 3.5 years and give us a chance to have a revival and bring people fully into the kingdom. So many of God's people don't know Him. They don't hear from Him. They don't know that all of the New Testament is true. They're ripping out pages, doing their own thing, when the Bible tells us in the end that if you add to or take away from the words of this book, you know, you're in trouble. And that's exactly what they do. They're proud before God. Their idols have permitted them to speak and act and teach against God. So, I believe that the Lord showed Michael and myself that we could forbid martial law, at least in the form that would be dangerous to God's people. There may be martial law when the quakes come in areas where it's needed. But the kind that I'm talking about is what we believe the Lord is saying we can bind. And Missy received, she asked a question, will you bring revival without martial law? Again, the kind of martial law we're talking about. And she got Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth abroad the earth. Who is with me? That frustrateth the signs of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah they shall be built, and I will raise up the waste places thereof, and that saith unto the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Very interesting. Will you bring revival without martial law? Again, the kind of martial law we're talking about is haul away a lot of Christians and put them in FEMA camps, and you never see some of them again. And the Muslims take their place. And so, Father, we thank you. We ask you for your great mercy, as you have indicated and confirmed that you're going to do. And we see you doing it out there, Lord. It is just awesome. And there are many that are fighting against you, but it's no use. You are the Lord. You are sovereign. And man can receive nothing except to come from heaven. We thank you for your mercy in raising up Cyrus so that your people can be set free from Babylonish bondage to this country and the wicked that are ruling it, and may return to rebuild the kingdom of God, which was, of course, Jerusalem and the temple, and exactly what they did. So we thank you, Father, for showing us this parable. We thank you, Lord, for freeing your people in all ways to go about doing what they're called to do. And obviously, Lord, I believe that between here and there, there is going to be a restoration of the fear of the Lord by earthquakes, volcanic activity, shakings of this earth that we've never seen in our lifetime. And so, Lord, we just wait upon you, and we're getting prepared. We're getting the silos filled, ready to feed the people for the 7 years of famine. And thank you, Father, that you will send forth your revival and your teachings throughout the world. And you will supply for your people. You will bless your people. You will return the fear of the Lord for your people. And Lord, we just see little bits and pieces, Lord, and we thank you for showing us what you have. We ask you to continue to open our understanding, Lord, and grant us grace to see. And we ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy on us, Father. Have mercy. Give us your grace.